Pape Library
by Rick Howard.
It's always true, incidentally. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heaven, one whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, meaning that even though he didn't have to take Isaac's life, in Abraham's mind, Isaac was dead. In other words, as far as Abraham is concerned, Isaac was dead, so it was like resurrection, even though he hadn't actually slain him, because he was dead from Abraham's viewpoint. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, and by faith Jacob, when he was died, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. The word esteeming there means evaluating, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and endured to seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea and dry land, when the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell, and after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. It's the second mention of Rahab in the New Testament, incidentally. A Gentile prostitute in the New Testament, when so many of the people who were of the commandment are not mentioned, because they did not come by faith. But nor shall I say, time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. But others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, over bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, mountains, dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made complete or fulfilled or perfect. May God add his blessing to this tremendous passage of Scripture. You may be seated. Now we begin in this passage to talk about faith as its essence, what faith is. And in these three verses are several very critical and important teachings and truths that help us to understand what faith is. First, let's look at two words. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, or substance of things hoped for, if you have the King James, and evidence of things not seen. I want to look with you just a moment at these two words, the one which is translated assurance or substance, and the other which is translated evidence. Now here are two words which have so much to say about what our experience with faith is all about. Now in these actual three verses we discover four things about faith. One, that faith is the legal title to unrealized possessions. And we're going to talk about this in detail. Secondly, that it is the legal evidence of unseen possessions.
Thirdly, that it is the legal procedure by which we appropriate those possessions. And fourthly, it is the legal method by which we reach ultimate reality. And we will see this step by step now, taking the first point, that it is the legal title to unrealized possessions. Now, this is the word assurance. It's a very important word in the original language. In fact, it's a word used three times already in this book of Hebrews. The Greek word is hypostasis, H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S is the way we would write it in English. There is no H in Greek, but that's the way we would write it. Now, that's a combination of two words. Hupo or hupo is under. It means to be under. It's a prefix that's put onto words. Stasis is from the verb form, which means to stand. So you can readily see that the word means to stand under or to be something which is foundational, the ground upon which someone builds. And basically its meaning carries into the concept of a hope. But in manuscripts taken from the same period, and we have actually discovered manuscripts taken from the same period in which the word is actually translated the title deed. In other words, it becomes the legal evidence, or the legal title deed, actually, of those things which we do not yet possess, but which we know we shall possess based on the promise of God. It's very similar to the word that Paul uses when he talks about the fact that when we become born again, God gives us the Holy Spirit as the earnest. Now, all of you know the word earnest, earnest money or down payment. That the Holy Spirit comes into our life when we by faith have confessed Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit becomes the down payment in our life. The Holy Spirit is the promise that though the work is not finished yet, that God will finish the work. That we by faith have trusted in the Lord, and He has sent His Spirit to testify in our spirit inside us that He has begun the work. And that testimony of the Spirit is like a title deed. It's like giving us the contract. It's like we say about our homes. We say, and I've used this illustration several times, it's humorous when we say we own our home. The state of California considers me a homeowner, which is just absolutely funny because I make payments every month, you know, and my payments are $460 interest and $27 a month on principal. But the state of California still says I'm a homeowner, you know, which is a big joke, but that's all right. If they want to be clever, they can call me a homeowner. But, of course, the reason they do that is I have put down money, and I have made a contractual bond. I've put down earnest money, and so there is a relationship that says I will complete it. Now, that's what this word says. Faith is the title deed concerning the things which we hope for. Now, hope, of course, Paul makes a big point about hope to the, and by the way, that's another reason why I'm absolutely convinced that Paul's the author of this book, which many people are not, of course, but other people have the right to be wrong. Romans chapter 8 is the great passage in which Paul says over and over again, we are saved by hope. And he goes on to say, if we had that for which we hope, it would no longer be hope. In other words, if I have this handkerchief in my hands, I'm not hoping for a handkerchief, I have a handkerchief. Hope, Paul says, is that which we do not yet have, but which we have been able by faith to see and to know. Now, Paul takes this passage and says, our faith, our belief, our trust is the title deed of those possessions which we don't have, but we know by hope are ours. It is our faith and the evidence of our faith in our spirit which is the title deed of those possessions. In the case of the first century Jew, of course, his act of faith in Christ as the Messiah was a title deed which God gave him. There was no literal understanding. In fact, of course, in the writing of the book of Hebrews, there was a temple. And circumcision was a real thing. And the law was a real thing. And the Jews were a nationality. And they had culture. And when those Jews had moved out of that, and by faith had accepted the Messiah, they were getting tremendous persecution from their own people. And in addition to that, the Roman government said it's okay to be a Jew because that's a nationality and we'll protect that, but it's not okay to be a Christian. Patience of the temptation of these Hebrews to go back to Judaism to relinquish their faith for something they could get their hands on, for a culture, for a tradition, for a nationality, for a place of safety and security in that experience. But Paul says, don't you understand that the faith that you have in Jesus Christ is actually a title deed. It is the foundation. That faith is the foundation of the very hope which we have in things which we do not yet realize. We do not yet realize. Now, hope is not whistling in the dark, friends. Hope is not some kind of an namby-pamby, you know, well, maybe it's so, and you know, it's possible, and so forth. That's not at all what hope is. Hope is an assured confidence based on knowing God and trusting God, and on the basis of that trust, He has sent His Spirit to witness in our spirit that we are indeed His sons. And that Spirit is the down payment, and that becomes the source of this marvelous hope. So here we find our faith then as the very underpinnings, the very foundation upon which these possessions rest. Secondly, he says, faith is the legal evidence of those unseen possessions. Now, it's interesting here, the word is, it is the conviction. It is not only the assurance of things that are hoped for, but it's the conviction of things not seen. Here again, an interesting Greek word, elegekos, or elegos, E-L-E-G-H-O-S, which is a legal term. It means just what it says there. The actual legal evidence, or another way of saying it is, the proof. In fact, the literal Greek says this, a proof by which a thing is proved or tested. In other words, we would call it empirical. A kind of proof that you can actually get your hands on and test something. In other words, a kind of proof that would stand up in court. So what is said here is that faith is the legal evidence, it's the kind of courtroom evidence for things that we have not yet seen. Now this enters into something that a man without faith struggles with. But it enters into something that becomes so beautiful when the Holy Spirit makes it real to you. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. My faith is the very underpinnings and foundations of my hope, of those possessions which are mine, on the basis of God's promise. But faith is also the very legal proof. My faith is in itself. Now here again, you see, we're not talking about faith so much as a verb as we are talking about faith as a noun. Let me explain that. We will see this even more clear in just a moment. What is being said is my faith, the fact that I have this faith. You know, I many times people will say to me, I don't know why I believe, but I do. You know, or I don't really understand this, but I just believe. Well, that's true many times in our experience. That's the faith we're talking about. We're not talking about faith worked up. We're talking about the faith that is in the life of a born-again person. Faith, which is the trust, which is the belief that God has spoken truth, that Christ died for our sins, that heaven is a reality, that when by faith I receive what Christ has done, that my sins are forgiven, and that the Spirit bears witness in my spirit that I am born again, or I'm changed, I've become a new person. My faith then, that faith within me, is the very foundation on which I build my hope, and it is the very legally accepted evidence of the things that I don't see yet. In other words, I don't see them, but I know they are true. And it is my faith, the fact that this faith is in my spirit, the fact that I have this faith, that the Spirit of God is bearing witness with me, it is that faith which is provable. It's provable because I get all kinds of things thrown at me. It's provable because I go through all kinds of doubts and hassles and yet come through with this bedrock experience. Now you see, that kind of faith is either there or it's not. You don't work this up. This isn't mind over matter. This isn't Christian Science, there is no God, you know, or rather there is no death, there is no suffering, there is no sickness, you know. This isn't some repetitious, I am not sick, I am not sick, I am not sick. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about faith that is there, you see. And to the believer, we're saying, my friend, it's true you don't understand all about this faith, but I want you to know, your faith is the very foundation of those things that are hoped for, that are going to come to pass, and your faith is the legal evidence. Use it. It's provable. It will stand the test, and it is a testable evidence about the things that you don't see. But the testable evidence is in that spirit. Trust it. Trust that faith. Now that's what the chapter's all about. You see, if you're trying to make this say faith meaning a verb, you're in trouble. Because the whole chapter is faith, the noun. The faith of Abraham, the faith of Moses, the faith of Isaac, the faith of Jacob. In other words, how did this prove itself in their experience? What were they able to do as a result of this? How did they act? How were they able to move out into a country without knowing where they were going? How were they able, when they had the opportunity to be the Pharaoh of the world, the greatest power of the world, how were they able to say, that's really not important, I'm going to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasure of Egypt? How were they able to do that? Because of this ground rock experience with God, which was the experience of faith, their faith. Now, third thing about faith, and this is, now you see, these two points are faith as a foundation. Faith as the foundation. But the second thing is said here is that faith is the legal procedure by which we appropriate the possession. Now look at this. For herein the elders had witness borne to them. All right? Now that word herein is an interesting phrase. This is, you're not interested in all the Greek nouns and the Greek background, and yet you need to know this is what's called the locative of sphere, which means by itself that this is the means by which they obtained a good report. How? By their faith. You see, their faith, which was the substance of things hoped for in their life, their faith, which was the legal evidence of things they couldn't see, but it was their faith that was the means by which they obtained a good report. Now here is the third thing that's being said about this thing of faith. That ground rock confidence in God that is there even when sometimes you don't want it to be there. I know some Christians that beat their faith like a stick. They don't want it there, you know, but it's there and they keep believing. I remember a young man desperately wanted to backslide, you know, just beyond anything you could imagine, wanted to run away from his religious experience. But his that faith was there. That knowledge that there was a God and there was an accounting and that there was something valuable in his life. And as much as he tried to beat it down with a stick, it was still there, you see. That's what we're talking about. By this they obtained a good report. Another way of saying is, for by this, or in the sphere and exercise of their faith, they were able to obtain a good report before the Lord. In the sphere of their faith. Now that's the point. Here again, let me write those words. In the sphere of their faith. Alright? Again, not verb, noun. Right? It was in the sphere of their faith that was the means by which they obtained a good report. Not because they were perfect people. Now when we go into this 15th chapter, the marvelous thing about this 15th chapter is filled with rogues. It's more like a rogues gallery than it is a king's court. It's more like a diary it's a diary of weak, failing, stumbling humanity. And the neat thing about it is, this is God's consummate summary of the lives of these people. Now, God says in this passage, by faith, Sarah received faith to conceive seed. Now, Hebrews 11 doesn't stop to tell you that Sarah laughed in her tent when the angel said, you're going to have a kid, and she said, oh, what a dumb thing that is. I'm 95 years of age. God didn't see that. Now, God records it. Yes, he saw it. It was a human reaction, this old woman in her tent, listening to the angel. Of course, she didn't know it was an angel, talking with her husband outside, eating shish kebab, I'm sure. And she heard the word that it wasn't going to be through the concubines or someone else, but she was going to bear seed. And she laughed. But God, in summarizing about Sarah, said, she believed God and received strength to conceive. Why? Because in the sphere of her faith, that's what she did. When she got right down to bedrock, when the laughing was over and the hilarity was finished, when she got down to the bedrock and all the human emotions were erased, there was a foundation that said, God is God, and if God said it, it'll be true. And God said, in the sphere of her faith, she pleased me. She obtained a good report. By faith, the elders. Now listen, you will look through this Bible from one passage to another and look in vain to find any man that is acceptable or pleasing to God in any other sphere other than the sphere of faith. That's the only sphere God honors. It isn't performance or goodness or having their act together. It's in this sphere of believing God. And this becomes the legal procedure by which they appropriated the possessions that God had for them. And it is the legal procedure whereby we appropriate the possessions God has for us. Now, fourth thing. It is also the legal method by which we reach ultimate reality. Now, here is the verse. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that that which is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. Now I want you to frame these three verses that I'm going over with you in such a fast way, each of which could be stretched. Each of these phrases are so full of meaning. But this last phrase says this, that faith is the method by which we reach an ultimate sense of reality. Notice the word understand here. The word understand in this passage, or through faith we understand, really means we perceive or we see something by means of reflective intelligence. It is related to the word see. Right? It is the same concept as see or perceive. Only this word is not see or perceive with the physical, but that which is deeper than the physical, the sight or the perception or the understanding which comes by reflective intelligence, by thinking and having our conscience lighted by the Holy Spirit. That's why, where I call these two foundational, and this is the faith by which we win the favor of God, this last is the favor, is the faith by which light comes. Now notice again, by faith we understand. What do we understand in this particular passage? We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, it's interesting here because this is not, as you would think it to be, this is not the word logos. Now, you know, the word logos is one Greek word for word. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, in which it says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word," meaning Jesus Christ, "was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," speaking about Jesus, the logos of God. You would think that would be the word here, but it's not the word here. This is not logos. By faith we perceive or we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It is not logos, meaning the Christ as the contractor. This is the word rhema. Now that's sometimes, well, let's spell it R-E-M-A. Actually, you ought to put an H in front of it if you're going to be correct. This is the other Greek word for word, which means the spoken declarative word. Now, what's being said here? It says, by faith we perceive that God just spoke and the worlds came into existence. Now, this is a very important Christian doctrine that's called, in the Latin, creatio ex nihilo, which means created out of nothing. And it is an important doctrine because in all of the marvelous teaching that the evolutionists do, and all the great theories and all the great concepts, and of course the basic materialistic evolutionist, he talks about the survival of the fittest, but the thing he never talks about is the arrival of the first. See, where does it begin? Now, look at this just a moment in a broad sense with me. Why do you think he takes that one illustration? He's talking about faith. He says, hey, buddy, your faith is the very foundation of the hoped for things, and that's how you're saved. You're saved by hope.
Please turn your tape over at this point for the remainder of the message. Library by Rick Howard.
It's always true, incidentally. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly one, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, meaning that even though he didn't have to take Isaac's life, in Abraham's mind, Isaac was dead. In other words, as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was dead. So it was like resurrection, even though he hadn't actually slain him, because he was dead from Abraham's viewpoint.
By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, and by faith Jacob, when he was died, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, the word esteeming there means evaluating, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and endured to seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea and dry land, when the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell, and they were, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. It's the second mention of Rahab in the New Testament, incidentally. A Gentile prostitute. In the New Testament, when so many of the people who were of the commandment are not mentioned, because they did not come by faith. What more shall I say? Time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, but others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, over bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, mountains, dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made complete or fulfilled or perfect. May God add his blessing to this tremendous passage of Scripture. You may be seated. Now we begin in this passage to talk about faith as its essence, what faith is. And in these three verses are several very critical and important teachings and truths that help us to understand what faith is. First, let's look at two words. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, or substance of things hoped for, if you have the King James, and evidence of things not seen. I want to look with you just a moment at these two words. The one which is translated assurance or substance, and the other which is translated evidence. Now, here are two words which have so much to say about what our experience with faith is all about. Now, in these actual three verses, we discover four things about faith. One, that faith is the legal title to unrealized possessions. And we're going to talk about this in detail. Secondly, that it is the legal evidence of unseen possessions. Thirdly, that it is the legal procedure by which we appropriate those possessions. And fourthly, it is the legal method by which we reach ultimate reality. And we will see this step by step now, taking the first point, that it is the legal title to unrealized possessions. Now, this is the word assurance. It's a very important word in the original language. In fact, it's a word used three times already in this book of Hebrews. The Greek word is
Hupostasis, H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S, is the way we would write it in English. There is no H in Greek, but that's the way we would write it. Now, that's a combination of two words. Hupo, or hupo, is under. It means to be under. It's a prefix that's put onto words. Stasis is from the verb form, which means to stand. So you can readily see that the word means to stand under, or to be something which is foundational, the ground upon which someone builds. And basically its meaning carries into the concept of a hope. But in manuscripts taken from the same period, and we have actually discovered manuscripts taken from the same period, in which the word is actually translated the title deed. In other words, it becomes the legal evidence, or the legal title deed, actually, of those things which we do not yet possess, but which we know we shall possess based on the promise of God. It's very similar to the word that Paul uses when he talks about the fact that when we become born again, God gives us the Holy Spirit as the earnest. Now, all of you know the word earnest, earnest money or down payment. That the Holy Spirit comes into our life when we by faith have confessed Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit becomes the down payment in our life. The Holy Spirit is the promise that though the work is not finished yet, that God will finish the work, that we by faith have trusted in the Lord, and He has sent His Spirit to testify in our spirit, inside us, that He has begun the work. And that testimony of the Spirit is like a title deed. It's like giving us the contract. It's like we say about our homes. We say, and I've used this illustration several times, it's humorous when we say we own our home. The state of California considers me a homeowner, which is just absolutely funny because I make payments every month, you know, and my payments are $460 interest and $27 a month on principal. But the state of California still says I'm a homeowner, you know, which is a big joke, but that's all right. If they want to be clever, they can call me a homeowner. But, of course, the reason they do that is I have put down money and I have made a contractual bond. I've put down earnest money. And so there is a relationship that says I will complete it. Now, that's what this word says. Faith is the title deed concerning the things which we hope for. Now, hope, of course, Paul makes a big point about hope to the, and by the way, that's another reason why I'm absolutely convinced that Paul's the author of this book, which many people are not, of course, but other people have the right to be wrong. Romans chapter 8 is the great passage in which Paul says over and over again, we are saved by hope. And he goes on to say, if we had that for which we hope, it would no longer be hope. In other words, if I have this handkerchief in my hands, I'm not hoping for a handkerchief, I have a handkerchief. Hope, Paul says, is that which we do not yet have, but which we have been able by faith to see and to know. Now, Paul takes this passage and says, our faith, our belief, our trust is the title deed of those possessions which we don't have, but we know by hope are ours. It is our faith and the evidence of our faith in our spirit which is the title deed of those possessions. In the case of the first century Jew, of course, his act of faith in Christ as the Messiah was a title deed which God gave him. There was no literal understanding. In fact, of course, in the writing of the book of Hebrews, there was a temple. and circumcision was a real thing, and the law was a real thing, and the Jews were a nationality, and they had culture. And when those Jews had moved out of that, and by faith had accepted the Messiah, they were getting tremendous persecution from their own people. And in addition to that, the Roman government said it's okay to be a Jew because that's a nationality and we'll protect that, but it's not okay to be a Christian. And that was the whole basis of the temptation of these Hebrews, to go back to Judaism, to relinquish their faith for something they could get their hands on, for a culture, for a tradition, for a nationality, for a place of safety and security in that experience. But Paul says, don't you understand that the faith that you have in Jesus Christ is actually a title deed? It is the foundation. That faith is the foundation of the very hope which we have in things which we do not yet realize. We do not yet realize. Now, hope is not whistling in the dark, friends. Hope is not some kind of an namby-pamby, you know, well, maybe it's so, and you know, it's possible, and so forth. That's not at all what hope is. Hope is an assured confidence based on knowing God and trusting God. And on the basis of that trust, He has sent His Spirit to witness in our spirit that we are indeed His sons, and that Spirit is the down payment, and that becomes the source of this marvelous hope. So here we find our faith then as the very underpinnings, the very foundation upon which these possessions rest. Secondly, he says, faith is the legal evidence of those unseen possessions. Now, it's interesting here, the word is, it is the conviction. It is not only the assurance of things that are hoped for, but it's the conviction of things not seen. Here again, an interesting Greek word, elegekos, or elegos, E-L-E-G-H-O-S, which is a legal term. It means just what it says there. The actual legal evidence, or another way of saying it is, the proof. In fact, the literal Greek says this, a proof by which a thing is proved or tested. In other words, we would call it empirical. A kind of proof that you can actually get your hands on and test something. In other words, a kind of proof that would stand up in court. So what is said here is that faith is the legal evidence, it's the kind of courtroom evidence for things that we have not yet seen. Now this enters into something that a man without faith struggles with. But it enters into something that becomes so beautiful when the Holy Spirit makes it real to you. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. My faith is the very underpinnings and foundations of my hope, of those possessions which are mine on the basis of God's promise. But faith is also the very legal proof. My faith is in itself. Now here again, you see, we're not talking about faith so much as a verb as we're talking about faith as a noun. Let me explain that. We will see this even more clear in just a moment. What is being said is my faith, the fact that I have this faith. You know, many times people will say to me, I don't know why I believe, but I do. You know, or I don't really understand this, but I just believe. Well, that's true many times in our experience. That's the faith we're talking about. We're not talking about faith worked up. We're talking about the faith that is in the life of the born-again person. Faith, which is the trust, which is the belief that God has spoken truth, that Christ died for our sins, that heaven is a reality, that when by faith I receive what Christ has done, that my sins are forgiven.
and that the Spirit bears witness in my spirit that I am born again, or I'm changed and become a new person. My faith then, that faith within me, is the very foundation on which I build my hope, and it is the very legally accepted evidence of the things that I don't see yet. In other words, I don't see them, but I know they are true. And it is my faith, the fact that this faith is in my spirit, the fact that I have this faith, that the Spirit of God is bearing witness with me, it is that faith which is provable. It's provable because I get all kinds of things thrown at me. It's provable because I go through all kinds of doubts and hassles and yet come through with this bedrock experience. Now you see, that kind of faith is either there or it's not. You don't work this up. This isn't mind over matter. This isn't Christian Science. There is no God, you know, there is no death, there is no suffering, there is no sickness, you know. This isn't some repetitious, I am not sick, I am not sick, I am not sick. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about faith that is there, you see. And to the believer, we're saying, my friend, it's true you don't understand all about this faith, but I want you to know, your faith is the very foundation of those things that are hoped for, that are going to come to pass, and your faith is the legal evidence. Use it. It's provable. It will stand the test, and it is a testable evidence about the things that you don't see. But the testable evidence is in that spirit. Trust it. Trust that faith. Now that's what the chapter's all about. You see, if you're trying to make this say faith meaning a verb, you're in trouble. Because the whole chapter is faith, the noun. The faith of Abraham, the faith of Moses, the faith of Isaac, the faith of Jacob. In other words, how did this prove itself in their experience? What were they able to do as a result of this? How did they act? How were they able to move out into a country without knowing where they were going? How were they able, when they had the opportunity to be the Pharaoh of the world, the greatest power of the world, how were they able to say, that's really not important, I'm going to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt? How were they able to do that? Because of this ground rock experience with God, which was the experience of faith, their faith. Now, third thing about faith, and this is, now you see, these two points are faith as a foundation. Faith as the foundation. But the second thing is said here is that faith is the legal procedure by which we appropriate the possessions. Now look at this. For herein the elders had witness borne to them. All right? Now that word herein is an interesting phrase. You're not interested in all the Greek nouns and the Greek background, and yet you need to know this is what's called the locative of sphere, which means by itself that this is the means by which they obtained a good report. How? By their faith. You see, their faith, which was the substance of things hoped for in their life, their faith, which was the legal evidence of things they couldn't see, but it was their faith that was the means by which they obtained a good report. Now here is the third thing that's being said about this thing of faith. That ground rock confidence in God that is there even when sometimes you don't want it to be there. I know some Christians that beat their faith like a stick. They don't want it there, you know, but it's there and they keep believing. I remember a young man desperately wanted to backslide, you know, just beyond anything you could imagine, wanted to run away from his religious experience. But his that faith was there. That knowledge that there was a God and there was an accounting and that there was something valuable in his life. And as much as he tried to beat it down with a stick, it was still there, you see. That's what we're talking about. By this they obtained a good report. Another way of saying is, for by this.
or in the sphere and exercise of their faith, they were able to obtain a good report before the Lord. In the sphere of their faith. Now that's the point. Here again, let me write those words. In the sphere of their faith. All right? Again, not verb, noun. Right? It was in the sphere of their faith that was the means by which they obtained a good report. Not because they were perfect people. Now when we go into this 15th chapter, the marvelous thing about this 15th chapter is filled with rogues. It's more like a rogues gallery than it is a king's court. It's more like a diary It's a diary of weak, failing, stumbling humanity. And the neat thing about it is, this is God's consummate summary of the lives of these people. You know, God says in this passage, by faith, Sarah received faith to conceive seed. Well, Hebrews 11 doesn't stop to tell you that Sarah laughed in her tent when the angel said, you're going to have a kid, and she said, oh, what a dumb thing that is. I'm 95 years of age. God didn't see that. Now, God records it. Yes, he saw it. It was a human reaction, this old woman in her tent, listening to the angel. Of course, she didn't know it was an angel, talking with her husband outside, eating shish kebab, I'm sure. And she heard the word that it wasn't going to be through the concubines or someone else, but she was going to bear seed. And she laughed. But God, in summarizing about Sarah, said, she believed God and received strength to conceive. Why? Because in the sphere of her faith, that's what she did. When she got right down to bedrock, when the laughing was over and the hilarity was finished, when she got down to the bedrock and all the human emotions were erased, there was a foundation that said, God is God, and if God said it, it'll be true. And God said, in the sphere of her faith, she pleased me. She obtained a good report. By faith, the elders. Now listen, you will look through this Bible from one passage to another and look in vain to find any man that is acceptable or pleasing to God in any other sphere other than the sphere of faith. That's the only sphere God honors. It isn't performance or goodness or having their act together. It's in this sphere of believing God. And this becomes the legal procedure by which they appropriated the possessions that God had for them. And it is the legal procedure whereby we appropriate the possessions God has for us. Now, fourth thing. It is also the legal method by which we reach ultimate reality. Now, here is the verse. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that that which is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. Now I want you to frame these three verses that I'm going over with you in such a fast way, each of which could be stretched. Each of these phrases are so full of meaning. But this last phrase says this, that faith is the method by which we reach an ultimate sense of reality. Notice the word understand here. The word understand in this passage, or through faith we understand, really means we perceive or we see something by means of reflective intelligence. It is related to the word see. All right? It is the same concept as see or perceive. Only this word is not see or perceive with the physical, but that which is deeper than the physical, the sight or the perception or the understanding which comes by reflective intelligence, by thinking and having our conscience lighted by the Holy Spirit. That's why, where I call these two foundational, and this is the faith by which we win the favor of God, this last is the favor, is the faith by which light comes. Now notice again, by faith we understand. What do we understand in this particular passage? We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now it's interesting here because this is not, as you would think it to be, this is not the word logos. Now you know the word logos is one Greek word for word. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, in which it says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word, meaning Jesus Christ, was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, speaking about Jesus, the Logos of God. You would think that would be the Word here, but it's not the Word here. This is not Logos. By faith we perceive or we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It is not Logos, meaning the Christ as the contractor. This is the word Rhema. Now that's sometimes, well, let's spell it R-E-M-A. Actually, you ought to put an H in front of it if you're going to be correct. This is the other Greek word for word, which means the spoken declarative word. Now what's being said here? It says, by faith we perceive that God just spoke and the worlds came into existence. Now, this is a very important Christian doctrine that's called, in the Latin, creatio ex nihilo, which means created out of nothing. And it is an important doctrine because in all of the marvelous teaching that the evolutionists do, and all the great theories and all the great concepts, and of course the basic materialistic evolutionist, he talks about the survival of the fittest, but the thing he never talks about is the arrival of the first. See, where does it begin? Now, look at this just a moment in a broad sense with me. Why do you think he takes that one illustration? He's talking about faith. He says, hey, buddy, your faith is the very foundation of the hoped for things, and that's how you're saved. You're saved by hope.
Please turn your tape over at this point for the remainder of the message.